This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to episode 16 of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. As ever, I am going to be joined by Danny Baker, and our special guest today is Rob Salem, the Jester. We're going to be discussing on tonight's podcast, we're going to be discussing the games against Portsmouth and Crewe. We'll move on to Ayo Basel. Is his petulance going to cost us points, or is it something that you still want to see in his game? We're going to discuss, where is Mboudi? Where has he gone?
Mboudi.
Is he still about?
Right. Mboudi, let's get that quick.
Right, is he still about? Where is he? And then we're going to discuss the 92 football clubs, because Rob has gone to all of them. And we're going to be discussing the 92 clubs, what me and Danny have done, and just how it works, because I'm not 100% on it. And then we'll preview the Fleetwood game. But yeah, let me welcome, as usual, Danny Baker and our guest, Rob. How are we, boys?
Good, good. How you doing, Lee?
Very well, thank you.
I'm obviously fabulously, absolutely fabulous. Glad that you, after 3 or 4 months, you can pronounce all our players correctly. It's really, really warming. Is there anything better, lads, than a Tuesday night, cold game, wrapped up, probably had something dodgy to eat on the way in, win 3-2 and go home? Is there anything better than that?
Happy days. That's what we're after. It was the first home league win I've seen for 30 years, because I missed the Oxford game. So under the lights, freezing cold with my nice new boots on. Fantastic.
Also, Dan, you just made me realise, I forgot to say, we are going to be discussing the queues at the game and the queues at half time, because you're talking
apparently
about
there's a family
food.
Still waiting to get in at the ground.
There's someone still queuing up for a pie at the moment. it's probably Gary Milson.
They're still changing the barrel.
Gary Milson's at the club now, seeing if someone's answered his Facebook post. And also, it's nice that Rob actually asked me how I am. Usually none of the guests ever actually ask me how I am. It's always how Danny is, but thanks,
Rob. You
always
look worried, Lee. We always know you look worried, so I just bring that up, boys.
I was thinking, you're looking good. I just wanted to confirm if you're feeling good, too.
Thanks, mate. Right, thanks, yeah.
Shall I leave you two on your own for a bit?
Well, he's seen your haircut, Dan, so that's why.
He ain't
getting any better, is it, over the weeks? No, Jesus.
It's like a documentary, my hair. It's a horrendous effort.
Old Lego head. Anyway, right. What was the first subject? Sorry, we're going to be discussing Portsmouth and Crewe. Portsmouth, I thought we played with a lot of effort without real quality. Portsmouth, you could see they were a touch above us, really. They had, what, I'd say 7-8 great chances that Zanev kept us in the game. I actually thought Zanev was at fault for the first goal. I think he should save that, but then you can't really have a go at the keys when he saved 3 or 4 1-on-1s. Dan, you was there, so what
I was
you think?
There. I thought the first thing I thought was that the fans were fantastic, particularly the rally cry that Robbo gave before. having 1,000 people in there. And by the way, as you know, I have always been very keen to support the club in different ways. There was a great gesture before the Portsmouth game. A guy who came on the pod a couple of weeks ago, Dan Lewis, brought his little girl to the game. And I just thought, you know what, I'll embarrass her. So I started shouting at Bezos. I was like, Bezo, it's the first ever game. The guys clapped, all the crowd clapped, and we just thought, oh, that's lovely. We sat down, Tuvi ran around, all the players signed a programme and gave it to the little girl. I mean, we always talk about that balance, don't we, between being that super slick Premier League club and that community club. And that's the constant thing I always think, would we? I don't know another club that would have done that. And bearing in mind, there was also in the week, I think a gentleman mentioned about a friend of theirs who might have passed away, and there was a big day out on the day of the funeral, might be in the crew game. Just some of the great stuff that the club does, whether or not we'd be able to do that if we wanted to go a different route, maybe, you know, externally owned, etc. But I thought that was a lovely touch. But I thought Portsmouth was decent. I thought we worked really, really hard. I don't necessarily agree. I was standing with a couple of guys, and it was, I didn't overly agree with, a lot of criticism was chucked at Robbo, particularly around substitutions, which I thought was a bit harsh. But I thought, to be honest, as I said on the pod last week, Portsmouth was a free hit for me, despite what you think, Lee. And I think that we actually played really well. And I don't think anyone who watched it there would have thought that we were, that we deserved to lose. But I don't know what you think. Rob, was it a free hit, do you think, Portsmouth? Or do you think we should have, you
stop know, saying it.
Worth something? Are you a free hit kind of man?
Stop saying it.
The thing is about free hits, of course, is those are the ones sometimes we get points off. This is an unusual season that we beat two of the two worst teams in the league. Normally, we'll chip off points off our free hit. So, not really a free hit man, I'm afraid, Danny. Not really.
There's no such thing as a free hit, that's why.
On my own in the free hit room at the minute, I think.
But
we were good, though. We were decent.
Danny, you're going to cost the club an absolute fortune now. Because anyone who's bringing their kids to football, even if they've been to their 15th game, they're just going to go, it's my boy's first game. And then they're going to hope that they get a signed programme out of it.
Go on, Rob. Go on.
Well, I didn't see it, but did you hear last night or see last night at the end of the, was it the City game and the Liverpool game? It seems like those big clubs, some dads send their little kids onto the pitch to try and get shirts. I don't know what's going on there. And then the players actually go and give them a shirt, which is going to make more little kids run onto the pitch. I don't get that.
Another thing that needs to be banned for football, and if you bring it to football, I don't care if you're a kid, if you bring a cardboard thing saying, Ollie Palmer, can I have my shirt? You should automatically get five stewards handing you out. I don't care if you're like 8 years old. You're out. You're on a lifetime ban.
There was a little
ban.
Lad at Portsmouth who was desperate for a Sal shirt. But I do think Wimbledon could do potentially like the first game badge, just a little cheeky memento for anyone who comes new. Just to say, that was my first game with a date on it. I would have loved one. I was a little kid. Just a tiny little thing that you can pick up. I feel that would have been quite cute.
That's a good idea. And Terry's badges should jump on that, actually. Well, no, he'd be doing loads of them, wouldn't he? How many first badges are? But yeah, remember, Dan, it costs all money, mate. And we ain't got a lot of money.
I know that. But if you look after them the first time, you're gonna keep fans for a long time.
But you are having a laugh with the free hit stuff, and I know it's a joke, but there was no free hit. As I said, I thought Portsmouth just had better quality in and around them. Unfortunately, look at the second goal; they run through a midfield. There is a handball. If you've seen the replay, there is a handball in it. It could have been ball like a free kick to us, but as it's going so quickly, he runs through and he has a shot and no one's there to tackle him. And I kind of agreed with people regarding Robbo's substitutions. I thought they were wrong, but then you don't know how tired McCormick and Palmer are. And
honestly, by 75 minutes, Lee, everyone was puffing and we were looking around thinking, okay, we did the usual Wimbledon, get to 65, exactly the same as crew, to be honest. Got to that point, oh God, we've got something to lose here. Let's start going backwards. Everyone started retreating. Everyone started coming on. And it just got to that point where we're thinking, do you know what? We had huffed and puffed. And there's no, as we said before, Lee, and I'm sure, Rob, you'll agree, there's no doubt that the team who are playing, effort is there. There's no doubt. We can moan about the wardrobes we used to have in centre midfield and everyone else. This team, regardless of the experience, they run their socks off. And there's no one in the team who you think are shy of effort. Maybe quality, yes. But in terms of general commitment, those guys were there. I thought the effort was fantastic. I thought the energy was good. I thought the performance was good. And for me, what we wanted to have was a real bit of momentum, which I thought we took into that Crewe game. So, yeah, I thought it was very, very promising. And particularly someone like Osu, who's been, and we'll talk a bit about him, about Crewe, but for him, been out of the team, coming at right back, I thought we did an excellent job.
Osu's like a new signing at the moment. We're saying we've needed players and stuff like that. It's like a brand new signing for us. But again, going back to substitutions, what you were saying, we look leggy and stuff like that. We look tired after 75 minutes. So why not bring on Mboudi?
Mboudi? I don't know. I heard it's Mboudi, bloke.
I think maybe the answer for not bringing on Mboudi is because he is the new Aziz. He looks quick. He looks really exciting. But when he gets the ball in the key areas, he doesn't know what to do with it. I mean, that he came on.
I know what you're going to say.
He came on at Bolton. He scored an amazing goal. And we thought, this is it. He is the mutts nuts. We're away here. But actually, since then, he's had a couple of decent runs. In fact, quite a few decent runs. But at the end of it, his brain isn't fast. His feet are faster than his brain.
Yeah.
And that's why he's not quite the super sub that I think after Bolton we were all hoping he'd be.
No, I agree. As I said, we'll talk about him later on in the episode regarding Sal and Mboudi. But we'll, as I said, we're talking about subs and Robbo's subs. I just think if you're tired and you want, if you're going backwards, bring on a little bit of pace to get us out of the trouble. I just don't think it was Presley's game. And if you're going to play Presley, I think you need to play him with Ollie Palmer in that game against Portsmouth, because they got two centre-backs.
Palmer is not going to finish 90 minutes for the rest of the season. Am I talking rubbish? Or is that... he's not going to finish 90 minutes, is he? Ever.
They're
going to wrap him in cotton wool.
Presley's not Palmer, though.
No, but the moment he comes off Palmer, same on Tuesday. Palmer goes off. We retreat. Presley can't keep hold of the ball. Runs around. Done some good flick-ons. But the moment that Palmer's off the pitch, the two centre-backs get a bit more play and we retreat.
But we've spoken about Presley before. Presley's not a holder. He's not going to hold up the ball. He's not a Palmer. He needs to play with a Palmer because I think he'll get goals then.
I totally agree.
And we're playing a totally wrong game with Presley. But if we move on to Crewe, I was actually disappointed with Crewe in the end. I thought we played really good stuff. I thought we played really well. But if we had come off and we'd won 5 or 6-1, you wouldn't have gone, oh, that's a shock. Because we absolutely battered Crewe for low. Coming off 3-2... And Asel getting sent off, you're thinking that just looks like we kind of just got away with one there, which we absolutely battered them. And you've got to be
disappointed with Crewe or delighted with Crewe or in the middle.
I was delighted with it, to be honest. We needed the 3 points after losing, getting that kick in the teeth at Pompey in the 89th, 90th minute.
Yeah.
We just needed the 3 points and to show resilience. And they went one down. Even though I thought we were in control of the game when we went one down. And they showed they've got the resilience to keep playing, albeit Crewe, I think, were even worse than Donny.
Yeah.
And possibly as bad as Lincoln. But I think it was great because actually on another day, we are going to win that sort of game 5-1. We couldn't find the net. And actually, to be fair to their defenders, they made some fantastic blocks. The keeper made a couple of saves. So I'm very happy with that.
I've got a question. The question in there, that said, like, are you happy or not? Of course, you're going to be happy. That was a ridiculous question. There, making me look bad. Then
you just said that you were delighted with the performance, and all of a sudden you started backtracking about.
No, I was delighted, and I was obviously happy. Right, three points.
We're all over the moon about the.
We needed 3 points, and we said out of the two games, if we could get 3 points, we'd be chuffed to bits. But I was annoyed that we had 25 shots. And we only had 6 on target and scored 3 goals. That was a bit disappointing with the play that we have, with the attacking threat that we have. I think Crewe are probably one of the worst teams I've seen
what
for many years.
Errol Thomas, by the way.
Striking. Too good for us.
I used to really rate him. And on Tuesday, I was like, what is going on? They were all over the shop at the back, I thought. But I thought Asal's best game in ages, Rob. What do you think?
Yeah, similarly. He's got what it takes against teams that play on the back foot, that pass it around. I'm amazed. Lincoln did exactly the same, passing it on their own 6-yard line. And Asal's great on that high press.
Yeah.
And in that formation. I think when the other team are dominant and they're not playing it quite like that at the back, it's much harder for Asal to get into the game.
Asau is a weird one because the two games, Asau had 16 touches against Portsmouth. That's all he had against Portsmouth. Against Crewe, he has 50 touches and 92.1% pass accuracy. Do you know what I mean? So we got him on the ball a lot more against Crewe because we knew he was going to be a threat. I thought Radoni was the best player on the park for us against Crewe. I thought he was brilliant. Assist, the goal. Palmer, I loved the shithousery of Palmer. That's the Palmer I love. I don't like the Palmer that gets deliberately misses games because he wants to play against Arsenal. But the shithousery of Palmer, I absolutely loved that he was getting called a fat bastard, scores two goals in front of the Crewe fans and lifted up to show his...
I tell you what, as well though, special mention to Osu, right back. I mean, I thought he was fantastic. Not just the way that he defended and the way that he tapped right-footed crosses. He's obviously a left-footer. Pace all game. Didn't get out-muscled. I thought, for me, we always talk about how good Henry Lawrence is, and I really rate Henry Lawrence, but Osu has chucked in a complete curveball for me. I thought he was absolutely brilliant on Tuesday, and I thought he was really good on Saturday.
But what I like about Osu now is, could we play him as a winger now and then put Henry Lawrence as right back and then Osu in the Asau role if Asau needs to be dropped or given a little bit of time off, which we'll talk about in a minute.
And actually, that comes back to Mabude, who we'll talk about in a minute, because actually Osu can play that role, especially late on against tiring legs. That's an alternative.
I think the other thing as well I was going to mention, special mention to Xhaka. I know people are like, oh, I don't know. I think he's improving slowly each game in a tricky position with two of our better, higher profile sort of homemade players. We've both been quite critical. And don't get me wrong, I don't think he's a finished article, but fair play to him. I thought he was good at Portsmouth. I thought he was pretty solid, actually, on Tuesday.
I think I've been really impressed because I thought he was the weakest link in the whole squad.
Yeah.
And so he was forced in because of injury. So I've been really impressed. Unfortunately, for my really positive rating of him, looking again at the goals, he was completely responsible for the second one. And actually, I wouldn't say completely responsible for the first, but actually when the ball came in, he stuck a leg out and he couldn't direct it. And it went back to a Crewe player and they did the triangle effectively around Xhaka and scored.
I'll just get my coat.
No, I've got to say, I've been very critical of Dan Xhaka. As I said, I always used to call him Dan Xhaka. Wouldn't have had him near the team. But I've got to say, yeah, he's done really well to get himself in. I know it's become for injuries and I think he's taken it. And again, he is at fault for the second goal, but then he's going to make mistakes. That's why he's playing League One football. If he was better, Wolves wouldn't have got rid of him. I think we just need to be patient with him now because there is a player there. I really do believe there is a decent player in Dan Xhaka now that he can play.
And I think the difference this season compared to the last several seasons, I don't know about you two, but I'm confident that Robbo is the man to make him a better player. And so I'm quite confident that he's going to finish this season better than he started, along with a number of other players.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that because you've already seen that. You've already seen the progress of him from the start of the season when Robbo came in to now. Before, everyone said he could only play in a three, and now he's playing in a two with Hennigan. I think it helps he's got Hennigan and Woodyard in front of him. But again, I take Crewe with a pinch of salt because they were so bad.
Yeah,
they were awful. And now we've got a big couple of games coming up, and that's when we're going to see the fruit of our labours of how good we are.
I mean, Hartigan and Woodyard are playing 90 minutes every single week. At what point are we going to need to rotate? I mean, I know Marsh has just come back. Are we in a position yet where we need to start thinking about bearing in mind we've seen, you know, the longer games, Hartigan's had a little niggle, so's Woodyard. Do we dare rotate them? I mean, they've been that good. Or do we just go, do you know what? We'll sit and wait.
I think
Marsh is good, but I don't know how we're going to work around it.
Go on, Rob.
I think he might play Marsh for the cup game against Cheltenham. As much as we want to get into the third round, that I don't think he'll rotate against Fleetwood.
I don't think he'll rotate them at all at the moment. I think they both look fit as fiddles. I think as they're playing, Woodyard's a different player from what I see last season when I thought he wasn't that great. I didn't get the fuss around him. Where now I actually see what he brings to the team. He needs fans, Woodyard. I think where we were playing behind closed doors, it didn't really help him. Where now, if he puts a crunching tackle in, the fans are up. Hartigan's playing some of the best football he's probably ever played. Marsh, I think we need to wait for Marsh to be fully fit before we can start chucking him in. And I don't agree that we'll rest them against in the FA Cup, because that's massive for us regarding if we get a third round tie, we're going to have a bit of money and we might need that in January. So I can't
see
it.
I totally get that. But our squad is really, really small and we can't afford to lose. I mean, we are going to come to ourselves shortly, but the thought of him missing a number of games, I was like, oh my God, losing one of those two because of an injury, because they're overplayed and they haven't. Have they missed a minute or a game? I've barely known.
With Jodas, I don't think Arkin has. But I mean, if they're fit, why are we going to rest? They're fit players.
As long as they're fit. But we are obviously in the international.
We've had international breaks as well. We've had
Woodyard and Hartigan both have knocks during the international week. So Lee, is it worth the risk rather than rotating just in one game in the next two? Bearing in mind Christmas is coming and it's going to be chock-a-block.
Lee, that's on your head now. If one of them gets injured because they're playing every 90, you're responsible.
I didn't want to say anything, Rob, but I'm glad you brought it up.
You keep playing them. You just keep playing them. It's what winning teams do. They just keep playing the same. You don't keep changing it and switch it around.
Especially you don't change the squad. No, they just play the same 11 every week, yeah?
Pretty much.
Absolute shambles.
At the end of the day, are we talking about Man City Premiership players on blimmin' 100 grand a week, or are we talking about AFC Wimbledon players?
Exactly. They're not fit enough. They need to rotate. I'm correct.
No, they don't need to rotate. No, I'm not having it.
Order, Lee.
What Woodyard needs more than a rest is a song that fits his name that everyone can sing.
We were talking about that the other day.
We've got a few players who just haven't got songs. And Alex Woodyard, centre of the midfield, we've got to find a song that fits. So that's a sort of call out to the songwriters of the stands.
Totally. Yeah, not your bog standard. There's only one Alex Woodyard and all that. It has to be a proper
it's got to be fresh song.
Yeah, it has to be fresh.
It's got to be like the glory days from Sellers.
I think there's a McCormick song in the working. It's an Oasis supersonic.
Ben Hennigan's got an Oasis song.
Give me Luke McCormick. And it goes a bit like that, supersonic. Yeah. It's decent, mate. I don't know the words, actually. So anyway, we'll wrap it up there. And when we come back, we'll be discussing Ayo Basau and Mbudi.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Right, we're back. And as I said before, we're going to be discussing Ayo Basau and Mbudi. And so if we start with Ayub Asau first.
Not Masau.
Right, anyway.
Ayub Asau, is it?
Ayub Asau. So he's red card has now been rescinded. Apparently a lot of that is to do with crew, because the crew players or the management team said that there was no spitting. So that was taken.
What's the referee seen then?
That's a weird one for me. I don't know what he's seen.
Rob, help me out here.
I have no idea what he's seen, but I was convinced I stand very near you. I was convinced that it was a yellow and he was going off the high foot and it would be a yellow each or nothing. Looking at the replay, right in front of the linesman, the challenge goes in and Asal's left arm comes across just below the neck, top of the chest of the crew player. That's what wound the crew player up, which is why the crew player got up, did a start. There's a kind of strange headbutt movement.
Yeah.
And then there's that handbags at five paces. So I thought in hindsight, yesterday, all right, fair enough, it's a red. But the ref couldn't see that. So I've no idea where he saw the spitting.
Yeah, there's two things that I didn't really like. What the ref seen spitting. It was the second booking. I thought, right, he's off here. One, why is he getting booked in the first place, the first booking, when he's trying to stop a quick free kick? Right, the ref said move away, and then he's put his foot out to stop the guy kicking the ball. So that was a silly booking for first place. The second one is, why is he flying in after just being booked? He's gone absolutely steaming in. All he had to do was stand there and wait for the guy to control the ball, and then he would have been one-on-one with him, and he might have nicked it then. But the other thing I didn't like is when, I know he's kicked off kind of thing and because of it, but why is Asel just on his own then and no Wimbledon players have gone over to kind of help him out against four crew players?
It could be because they saw him do the full left arm chop on the crew player and thought, oh shit, it's time to go.
I get that, but you still don't let your teammate just get surrounded by crew players.
Crew, we're not worried about it from crew, are we?
Well, we know Till Thomas ain't doing anything.
Well, we're panicking. It's crew.
No, we wouldn't, mate. We steam in. It don't matter who it is. And don't matter what they've done wrong.
One more thing about why they didn't, because they were out on their feet.
I agree. I think they went
high intensity.
I think they went, we're just going to stay back. You can have your little row. But there is something there is an undercurrent with us, Al. We know that. But the thing that was frustrating for me is, number, like you said, the first booking, has he not learned from the Gillingham game? Like, literally, exactly the same thing happened at Gillingham. Secondly, the penalty with Ollie Palmer. Why is he moaning with Ollie Palmer? Like, I don't know if you saw it, Jester, at the other end when the penalty went, Ayoub Assal's got the right arm, picked the ball up and wanted to claim it. And I was like, what are you doing? And then obviously the thing at the end, it's just, I think there's obviously a little bit of uncertainty and a bit of unrest. And yes, he is a young guy, but we really could do with him learning the lesson quickly, because his bookings, luckily, I think, was it yesterday? Is the last game where... what is it? I think it's after yesterday. It's not five bookings as a suspension. It's now 10. I think they've kind of extended it from yesterday, I think it was. But he's on 7 already. 7.
And the only good thing is, where it's been rescinded now, he doesn't get any ban at all. Because if the ref had sent him off for a second booking, he'd have had a one-match ban. Where now, he doesn't get any ban, and it's good. But would you be dropping him for Fleetwood now, with, because he needs to be taught a lesson? Because as Danny said, I love that kind of side of a player. I love that, because Wimbledon players always had it. Look at Ben Thatcher, nicest guy off the pitch, but you get him on the pitch, you know he's going to be there could be a red card any minute. I kind of like that kind of side of a sale, that he has that little bite. But the stuff with the penalty is absolutely ridiculous. Ollie Palmer's a striker. He takes the penalty. It's just what it is. I don't know why he was arguing over that.
Yeah, I agree, but I wouldn't punish him in any visible way to the rest of us. I wouldn't drop him. I think for me, the second booking that was a red card that should have been a booking, not a red card, now is nothing, I'm a bit more relaxed about. It was the first booking, because he's got time-wasting bookings. I think that's his third or fourth booking for trying to time waste. And as you said, Danny, that Gillingham game, he cost us 2 points as far as I'm concerned. But I think these sorts of punishments, these sorts of discussions, they go on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand. I did see that. I didn't understand why he picked the ball up. Any club should have one penalty taker. If they're off the field, they've got another designated penalty taker. And unless it's 5-0 and you're on a hat trick, or it's some special, it's your mum's birthday or something, forget it. It's the striker's penalty. But I wouldn't drop him.
What would you two boys do to Assal? What would, like, I know in-house punishment and stuff like that, but how do we kind of calm him down a little bit that we're not losing him for 6 games? Get all free. If it had straight red, that would have been 3 games.
And I think that's, it's tough.
Two big games.
I mean, I was going to ask, I presume a referee can't, now he's done the red, he wouldn't do a retrospective yellow, would he? And go, well, actually, the foul was bad. I presume that.
You can't do that now, but on the game, he could have done.
Yeah, he could have done. But to be honest, he's one of those players where he's so close to that line, isn't he? Like, he plays so aggressively. And to be honest, that was the best game I've seen him play in ages. I think he's been poor for the last half a dozen before. Cambridge, I thought he was poor. I thought the Sheffield Wednesday game, he was poor. He actually looked like he had a rocket, and he really got going. I personally feel, I thought maybe he had a little knock, and yesterday he might have recovered, in my opinion. I felt that he was always carrying something. Didn't look like he wanted to take that guy on and really stretch him. Felt he always kept kind of come back, but I'm a jester. There's no way now I would drop him. What I would like to see, though, and again, I know it's part of the second part of the Mabu Day debate, but there's obviously some sort of disconnect between him and Robbo, because, to be honest, Assal, even on Tuesday, I would have taken him off with 10 to go and play Mabu Day had he been in the bench. And I've done exactly the same against Portsmouth. So there's obviously something not quite right there.
I think if I was, back to your question, Lee, if I was Robbo, I would not punish him for that second incident. I'd say, right, from now on, every time you get a yellow card for a time-wasting incident, there's a fine, there's a forfeit, whatever it is. You have to sing a song in front of the whatever. There's some forfeit, financial, serious, not so serious. But that's what he's got to learn. I'm a bit more relaxed about him getting a bit bit pushy and shovey. It's a bit,
yeah.
You know, he's a small guy, and small guys like me, we try to punch above our weight, and so he's trying to flex and say, I'm not one of the little lads.
No, I get that part of his game as well, because you watch big teams like Bolton and stuff, they've got massive centre-halves and they think, here we go, we're going to bully this kid, and he doesn't get bullied. And he's, as Danny said, he's on that kind of edge where he has to kind of go out there and prove himself that he is at that level as well, at League One level. It is the silly, stupid bookings, like the time-wasting ones, where he's already cost us 2 points at Gillingham. The thing is, does he get away with it because it is Ayo Basau and he's so loved? Because I think he's brilliant. Everyone loves him to bits. But if that was Mboudi, if that was someone else who gets a little stick, they probably wouldn't be,
been
getting away with it as much. But that's what happens with footballers, though, isn't it? Everyone knows that.
Did you see the stat, though, to go on the other side of it, that Asal became the first player to create 7 chances from open play for Wimbledon since the 2011-2012 season. I mean, that's impressive, isn't it?
I'm glad you made clear it was Wimbledon, because I was getting confused there.
But we are the famous Wimbledon.
But again, that was against Crewe, the worst team in the league. So I'm taking that a pinch of salt again.
Well, that's up to you.
Let's hope he does it on Saturday against Fleetwood. But let's move on to Mboudi. Well, let's move on to him. Right? Where is he? Right. Is it a comms thing? Is he ill again? Because he was apparently missing because he was ill. I've heard rumours, and I don't know if anyone else has, that he's hard to manage. And he's got a little bit of an attitude on him. And it's just weird we're not seeing him. Is he a loan that we don't really need to take the chance on anymore, and we send him back in January if we can? Because I think you have him on the... If he's injured, then why not come out and say he's injured?
The one thing he's got is blistering pace. I mean, he's seriously quick. And the amount of games I saw where I thought, wow, just like Rob said, again, I'll say it again. For me, he's the AFC Wimbledon version of Andy Clark. He is super quick, running around like crazy, and he's either offside. The one that drove me mad, I think the last game he came on at AFC, he did a great run, got to the penalty area, didn't know what to do, and just ran straight into a defender. So I just go round, and I'll just try and go through him. Got cleaned up, and everyone was like, what are you doing? But he's definitely got something. He's definitely got something to offer. But what's worrying is that if he was not deemed good enough to play on the bench on Tuesday, and we had a young lad Jenkins on the bench, plus the sub keeper, if you like, I'm concerned. And if we're not going to play him now, and we're not really going to play him until January, or he's that far down the pecking order, personally, I think we can get another loan that could be higher up the pecking order than that, personally.
See, my thing is, he didn't come on Saturday against Portsmouth. So was he carrying a knock and he is injured? And that's why he wasn't in the squad against Crewe. But the problem we got is we hear so many different factors and stuff. As I said, I've heard rumours that he's hard to manage, and we're not, like Robbo's already said that he had a word with him, didn't he, at the start of the season to get more out of his game because he wanted to see him do stuff. And we're not really, if he is a loan coming in, we want to see the loans on the pitch, because obviously you don't get him in just to sit on the bench. Rob, what's your views on Dapo?
I guess, well, I'm not, I have no idea. I've got no ear on in the club. And I tend to ignore...
Start a rumour now.
On the contrary, I tend to ignore conspiracy theories. Someone said... Oh,
Rob, start a rumour.
I heard this, I heard that. So I just think he's not good enough yet. That's why if he's well and not coming on, it's because he doesn't... They don't rate him enough. And Lee, you're right, in which case... I would let him go back. Is it Watford?
Watford.
I let him go back to the club at January, and we try for someone else. I think pretty much most of the rest of the loan players are going to have had a positive experience here, are going to have moved on in their game, and their clubs will be happy. Interesting, Falivi was a bit hit and miss also from Watford. So I wonder actually if that Watford supply chain is going to dry up anyway, because it didn't really work for Falivi. He was
not quite
fancy player, lots of lovely feet, scored a couple of great goals. I'm waiting. We're all waiting for another Bolton goal from Aboude, but I think we might be waiting quite a long time.
See, my only worry with sending him back and then getting another loan in is, can we do that? Because I know you get your quota of loans, and I don't know if we'll be able to. Obviously, you allowed five in this match they scored, and there's rumours going again that we've got two coming in January, which could be from Man United, because they sent Cochrane's quite impressed and sent two of their boys down for a week with us to see how the first team works, how it's being amongst the first team, because obviously they can't do that at Man U. So they've done it with Sheffield Wednesday, they've done it with us.
Okay.
And obviously he's worked with Robbo before, they like the way we play football. So there's that rumour that we could be getting two loans in. But I'm thinking, again, like if he's not on the bench against Crewe, was he injured? And if he was injured, then just say in the, no one says anything before the games. So you know where they say, oh yeah, we've got a fully fit squad, and then suddenly we get to the game and there's like one missing. You're like, is he missing because he's injured, or is he missing because he is got that stuff going on behind the scenes?
We wouldn't hear it before the game if he was injured, because we were stuck in the queue.
Yeah, we'll come on to that next as well. But
forgive me for cutting across ever slightly. We're talking about loans. What do you make of Lawrence and Presley?
I'm much happier with Presley now than I was when I saw him in a couple of pre-season games.
Okay.
I think he is winning. He's winning the flick-ons. The trouble is, if he comes on as a substitute, 15 minutes to go, the players around him haven't got the legs to be in the right positions for his flick-ons.
I agree with that.
So it's a bit of a problem. In front of goal, he should have probably bagged a couple, shouldn't he, on Tuesday? I think Lawrence is class. I think he's going to end up at a level above where we are. Not yet, but he didn't have time yesterday. So I think we've seen a lot of decent games. I'd be quite happy if he was a solid, sort of permanent, semi-permanent member of the team this season.
Yeah, I agree with
that.
Presley's better with it facing the goal than back to goal. I think back to goal, he wins the flick on, and I think on Tuesday we won a really good flick on, and McCormick came flying through. But as you said, Rob, when we're 15 minutes to go, there's no legs to get in behind it. So unless you're going to, bizarrely, that's where Mabude with, I think Presley's got to play with somebody else. And I think, I hate to say it, Lee, it pains me, but I think you're right. I think Presley's got to play with somebody else up front with him.
Both of you have said that tonight. But I just, with Lawrence, I think he's absolutely class. I really do. I rave about him big time. I think he's going to be a really, as Rob said, I think he's going to be a level. But I don't know if he'll make it as a Premiership club, but I think he'll definitely make it a level above us. With Presley, I still don't get it. I still don't rate him. He has one good game in five. Unless he's not a target man. So why are we trying to play him as a target man, play him as a two, and we might see a different player? But at the moment, I just don't see the point of him being in a target man position.
I think he's stuck between, he's almost stuck between two horses at the minute. I don't think he's quite big enough, and I think he's not quite strong enough to be a target man. And I don't think he's quite quick enough to be the guy who legs it around at the top. I mean, his running, he looks like, him and Richard Butler are the two guys, whoever I watch them, they look the most tired running around. Presley looks exhausted. He's just walking along, and Richard Butler was the same. But I just feel that he lacks the yard of pace, Presley. And I think he doesn't quite have the strength to deal with a League One centre-half. I think if he dealt with other centre-halves, I think he'd be fine. I think he'll win a fair few flick-ons. I don't think there's a doubt with that. But as Rob said, if he's only going to play in the last 20 minutes, unless there is someone who's fresh who's going to go in and behind him, I don't think he's going to be that good holding it back to goal. But again, I can't fault him for effort. The guy runs around, he puts himself in. He's endeared himself to fans with his work rate. But as you just said, Lee, it's just the quality. Him and Mabude have got sort of splashes of good stuff. But are they going to be consistent enough to be in our team going forward in our best 11? I don't know. And if they're not, get someone in who will, in my opinion.
Effort only gets you so far, Danny. He's there to score goals, and he's not scoring goals, and he's not a target man. So, Rob, did you go to the Dartford pre-season friendly game? I think you was there, weren't you? And I turned around to my boy and I said, this kid's going to real struggle in League One if he's struggling again. I know it was pre-season, his early days, but he was struggling against big men of non-league football who were bullying him about, and I thought, he really is going to struggle in League One, because it's just exactly the same. The centre-halves will just brilliant. But again, I don't think he's a target man. He should be playing alongside a target man. He'll get onto the flick. He'll score goals, which he has done for Brentford B. But I think we're wasting him.
I'm a bit of a victim of his poor shooting, actually, because at that Dartford game, when they were warming up, I was showing my son something on the phone, and he shot, missed, of course, went straight towards me, and I couldn't take my glasses off, do anything in time, so I turned my head, smacked me in the ear, and I reckon I was concussed for about 2 or 3 weeks. I was feeling a bit dizzy, a bit, so, Presley's got a lot to answer for in my book.
You should have said something. They would have got you a signed program. Right, Danny, loving that one. Right, then, chaps, let's move on, and then we'll come back. We'll discuss the queuing system all round the ground at AFC Wimbledon.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Well, we're back, and we're going to be discussing the queues at the ground, getting into the ground, half time, trying to get a pint. To be fair, I've been into the. I love the ground. I think it's amazing. I get there quite early now. I don't go to the local pubs, or we stop going to the local pubs to go and spend money at Wimbledon. But you have to get in extremely early if you don't want to queue outside. If you want to get food and a pint, you have to get in early. And I don't think that's the answer, because not everyone can. Getting early. There's some people who are going to arrive late from work, especially on Tuesday nights. But the queuing system at the ground now is, I saw on Tuesday loads of stuff on social media, and it just looked ridiculous. Why, like, what is happening that it now we're in December? What are we in? Coming up to December, aren't we? It's literally the end of the month. We're coming into December, and you still have to queue for about half hour just to get into the game. It's ridiculous.
It is a bit of a pain. I mean, actually, the queues go quicker than they look. So I think, you know, I got there about 7:15 and the queues were pretty long, and I had to wait for a mate to come, which was fine. He got there, him and his daughter got there about 7:30, and then we joined one of, I think, to go to either gates 4 or 5. And it looked long, but we were in, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 minutes or whatever. And it wasn't too bad, but I was saying all along, it looks to me like they're going to have to cut a couple of extra holes and stick in a pair of pairs of turnstiles to increase the number. I didn't help, because it took me about 4 goes to work out what I had to do, because I was tired. It was Tuesday night. So I'm partly to blame. But if other people are like me, it will speed up a little bit, but I think we just got to have a couple more turnstiles.
I mean, I'm not being funny, but we're relatively experienced. Obviously, Rob's not. He's only been to 1 million grounds, but there's no turnstiles. I mean, me and my dad were standing there, and like, you can just see there's just not enough places to get in. I'm amazed in this day and age with all of the technology, there isn't a guy just going zap, 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 like we did before. You're putting the thing on why have we got 2 guys zapping you, and you've got the 2 on the turnstile, and it's all done. I don't really get it. It should be like when you go shopping, you just do a barcode, yep, and you go, yep, and you go. Why? I can't understand what the problem is.
The problem I had on Tuesday was that their tickets weren't working, or something, the QR codes weren't working. So they just opened the gate and let people in. And it's like, you don't know if people have got tickets, if they've paid for the right tickets, if, you know what I mean? You're just letting in loads of people now to a game that you don't know. Like, when I went to the Guiseley game, I brought my family. So me, the missus, my oldest boy, and then my youngest one, 8 weeks, and my 5-year-old, their first games. And we were cute, but they had to check the bags. Every bag had to be checked, which is fine. I get it. But we've got bags full of milk and stuff, and they checked. And then I think a couple in front of us had a bottle of Diet Coke. They had to take the lid off them, and it was a full bottle of Diet Coke for their like 5-year-old son. And it's a nightmare to give your 5-year-old son a bottle of Diet Coke without a lid on, because they're idiots and they spill it everywhere, and it's just a nightmare. And then you've got that while you're queuing up to get into the game. There's 5 of us being checked by 2 people on 2 turnstiles, so it just slows everything down. There is 2 turnstiles to let in thousands of people. I know there's another one down by the away end as well, But no one ever advertises that. And there's, again, but that's only four turnstiles then to let in the whole crowd. It's just mad. And sorry, Dan, one last point. As Rob said, it was quite quick to get in, but say 10, 15 minutes to get in. Then you want some food because it's Tuesday night, you've come from work. That's another 10, 15 minutes. I remember, where was it? One of the first games. I missed literally 5, 10 minutes of the game because I was queuing up to get chips. It's just madness that this is still going on in December.
But like we said when we spoke to Andrew Harding, I can't remember how long it was ago, he was saying that either it will take a certain amount of time for us to get to the point where the ground is where it needs to be. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, we've had it August, September, October, 4 months in. Surely, I know the cosmetic bit will work when it does, but the sheer functionality should be there now. We should be at a position where people can get in, people can have a drink and eat, or and just general experience, because we're in a very, very crucial stage of our development where we're having lots of families coming in, lots of people starting to support Wimbledon, and that first impression is massive. And if we're not giving it both barrels, making it welcome, making it enjoyable and making it easy, there's a potential where we might lose a very, very some custom, which we are absolutely desperate for.
I kind of understand it if it happens against, say, a Wigan, a Bolton, a Sunderland, because they're massive games. You've got more people coming. But Guiseley, when there was only 3,500 people there, and you're still queuing for ages to get in, or you're queuing for a pint for like, and you just give up in the end. Or Crewe on Tuesday, it weren't that busy. It ain't going to be sold out. Crewe are not bringing in many away fans, and we're still just queuing to get in. And if you say about the half-time, I know people now that are leaving 5, 10 minutes before the game finishes to try and make sure that they can get a half-time drink, half-time pint. And with people are saying about pre-pouring the pints, why can't that be done? Because how much money are we losing when we need every single penny at the moment because people cannot get served? And long-term, they'll just go, I ain't going to the ground early. I'm going to stay at the pub, the country house, the pub at the corner bin, and not go to the ground early instead, because there's no way I'm going to get served if I go in too late.
Except, of course, then they'll get stuck in the queue to get into the ground in the first place. I do think, just still on the turnstile front, so you've got the 6 turnstiles along the east stands, the 2 corners and in the middle. I still think that I could have got in there twice as quickly if I was used to it. Because actually, how many midweek games, I don't know, how many times have the turnstiles been up? Is that the third game that we've actually had the proper turnstiles?
Fair point.
So I still think it will improve, but I do think we're going to need to add, 2, 4 more turnstiles. I think there are more turnstiles in the West Stand as you go up those stairs either side of the shop than there are altogether for the East Stand, which is where the East and South Stand. So I think that'll have to come.
Do you think as well, because of the way that the concourse is built, that everyone's trying to go into the same place on that corner, probably where we go, Jester, that one there, because you go further down, there's one, further down, there's one. Do you just think everyone's going in that area?
No, they're spread out, because I never go in that corner one because it looks like it's got the longest queue. So I go down, go in gates 4 or 5, and it's the same. The queue length is pretty much the same. So
the ones in the middle are not open though.
Sorry,
the 2 turnstiles in the middle of the East Stand are not open. It's the 2.
Yeah, they are.
Well, not when I went last time. They weren't.
Guiseley. They might have seen you, Lee, and closed it. I mean,
they weren't there. We only had 2 turnstiles, one in the left corner and one by the away corner. The ones in the middle weren't open.
At Crewe, they were open.
So I agree with you, Rob, that I think the turnstile situation, that will improve. I think that will get better and people will be able to get into the game. But how do we sort out the situation once we're in the game and you want to get food, you want to spend your money at the bar, but you can't because they've only got 4 bar staff who have no idea what they're doing? Is it a case that we hire more staff, which costs more money, or we just think of something that doing like half-time 4 pints?
Sell bottle beers and get on with it. What's the matter with people?
What about someone walking around with bottles?
Wallop. If the pints sell out, you can get a bottle or a plastic bottle of it.
Someone else said they have people walking around, you know, with the old bottle, like a carrier, you carry them around. You do in America, you've got bottle beers, it's a £5 for a bottle, there you go, bang.
Tequila.
Yeah.
What, shot girls? Get some shot girls going around, or What's it like in Magaluf?
The Bocadelli's on.
At Magaluf, you have the laughing gas.
Not that I'd know about that sort of thing.
No, of course you wouldn't.
Yeah, I just. That's how he got the
win. So he just, that is such an easy win. Like, if you're struggling, you can go, right, we've run out of taps. Here are the bottles. They're all in the fridge. People, they're all plastic. You just go, there's your bottle. It can't, and even, have the guy walking around, do you want a bottle? Here you go. I mean, it can't be that hard. But the amount of money that we're losing on that amount, that on not people not paying for it. I know we're talking about a beer, but we could be talking about the potential of it. We could be talking about £1,000 a game. Now that's £20,000 a year. And now there might be small shakes, but that's just that's that one bit. Then it goes, then you think about it in the away stand, then you think about it before the games, after games, then you think about the food. It all adds up.
So I tend not to queue for drinks or food at halftime at all. So I'm not kind of suffering for it. But my question to you two is, when you go to away grounds, is it ever any better? I mean, I'm thinking about Ipswich, absolutely ran. I love that sort of round, crowned, ancient feel. But how quick do the queues for the bars move at half time? When you've got a ground where you've got 600-700 of us or more, is it much better anywhere else? If it is, the answer is simple. It's send someone in a management position round to some other game, see how they do it. If it's not quicker.
For me, Rob, though, it's not a case of how quick it is. We're having guys queuing up and not getting a beer. Now, if it's a speed thing, then I get what you're saying and look at it. But my mates who go and get a drink, they go to half time. They don't get a drink. I mean, they go and wait and wait and wait, and there's no drink. They don't even get one. So they wait 15 minutes in the queue, getting to the drink, and they're not even getting a drink out of it. Whereas at least at Ipswich or Doncaster, you might wait your 10, 15 minutes, but at least you walk out with a pint. These guys don't get anything. They're just zero.
And Dan, as you said earlier, if you're a new fan and you're coming and you're queuing up for 15 minutes to get a drink and you don't get nothing and you're going back, you're thinking, well, this ain't exactly great, is it? I want to be getting a drink. But just on your other point, I've been to many away games, as we'll discuss later when we talk about the 91. Sorry, I never find it that hard to get a drink. Never really find that I have to queue and I only get one. Usually half time, I'm usually doing one or two, three pints at half time and a burger and a hot dog. Do you know what I mean? And anything else,
mate, you want there?
Wow. I'm on an away day.
No one else behind you is getting anything. They're waiting to see you. All of it. Mate, what's the matter with you?
I'm on an away day away from the missus, mate. I'm trying to live it up.
You have to have a burger and a hot dog. What's the matter with you?
Got to have both, Dan. Got to try it. I'm trying them out for the podcast.
Of course you are.
It's research.
Is it a new feature, is it?
Yeah, it's going to be a new feature.
Tell you what, if you keep eating them like me, mate, I'm eating them as well. And I tell you what, I'm growing new features and never know how.
But I don't think I've ever had an issue really where I've queued for ages and thought I've not got a beer here. And as I said, where did we go? And it was literally bottle service. It was bottles. But you have two bottles. One person's gone up there. It's in a whip. They're getting, and you're drinking two bottles and that's it. Everyone's at
me. So quick. There you go next. And again, not having cash for me, it still does slow it down a bit. I don't know what you guys think, but having the card waiting, has it worked? Has it not?
That is
easier, but I think it is slower. People might think it's quicker. I still think it's a bit slower.
I do. But I agree with that as well.
Was it 10 quid, see you later, gone? It's a 5-second encounter where you've got to ring it all up on that nonsense. But I don't know.
It really is slow. And even the food trucks are brilliant, but sometimes the queue on them are just unbelievable now. And I know they're doing their best and stuff, but you just want a bite to eat. And especially on Tuesday nights when you are coming, you think, I'll make it my dinner as well.
And it's proper cold as well. Like, Tuesday was the first game I've been to an age when I thought, oh, this is nippy. Like, proper, really exactly the reason why me and my old man go to football. It's those sort of cold nights. You're standing there, you're just shouting, jumping. You know, if you all sport one was jump around, everyone's just jumping because it was that cold. The feet was going numb. It was one of those great sort of remembering back when I was younger, getting excited because tonight it's going to be cold. Going to have a lot of coffee between the two of us. We're going to sit there hugging each other up, sort of going a goal. Everyone's clapping just to stay warm. It was one of those days, yeah.
I do hope things are going to happen, though, because I did see a few things on Facebook. Graham Stacey said there's stuff, I think, going to be coming out regarding getting drinks this way. I do worry about Gary Milson because he, has anyone replied to him on Facebook yet? Because I think he said it was 48 hours and no one had even answered his question. I do worry about the Milsons of the world because they live for their pints at half time, and if they
see him on Saturday. You know, maybe they're a wanted poster on the podcast.
Milson would always go. He'll be boring everyone in the East Stand till the day's gone.
Next week. Give him a chance to reply. That's what I say.
He'll be talking about it on Saturday at Fleetwood. All he'll be going on about is if he got a pint at a crew. But I think things will be getting changed, and hopefully they'll be getting. It will get better, but it's December now, and we're still struggling to serve.
Jester, do you like Plough Lane? Are you a fan?
I am a fan. What's not to be a fan of? I mean, if you're not a beer drinker at half time,
it's brilliant. If you don't mind a queue, then you've got a good podcast to listen to while you're queuing up.
Exactly.
Nudge, nudge, say no more, say no more.
Enough said. And the pizza queue at half time was pretty short on Tuesday. My brother didn't have to wait too long.
Well, if it gets long, just give him a pizza your mind.
Can I say it's mad that we serve pizza at football? Pizza's not a football food. It's good because people love it, but I'm not having, you can't,
go on,
I'm not
Rob.
Having
pizza.
You're a purist, right, Lee? If it's not a burger or a hot dog or a pie, presumably.
Yep.
I mean,
what's wrong with some gastro food, eh?
No, I mean, like, it's got, when I first turned up, I love Plough Lane, but when I first turned up, they were serving gnocchi. So I didn't even know. I thought it was pasta, but it's not. It's potato, isn't it?
Lee, it's gnocchi.
Thank you, Rob. Thank God, with a little bit of class.
Well, what a silly question again. You've asked him, does he like Plough Lane? What about if you turn around and said, I want to go back to King's Meadow.
Well, I don't know. He might just go, do you know what? It's great, but, you know, the urinals are too close together. I'm just interested in what Rob thinks.
Okay, about the urinals.
Yes, let's talk about the urinals.
If you're on the end urinal facing in a particular direction, basically, if the door's open...
Yeah, they can see you.
Yeah, it's
all... Anyone can see you.
It's a free-for-all, absolutely.
In my case, I'm relaxed about that because there's not much to see.
But I was going to say... To be fair, unless there's any people outside with magnifying glasses, I've got nothing to worry about at the moment. But as Danny said, if you're queuing up people, then listen to the best number one unofficial podcast in the world.
How cringy you.
Do you know what I mean? You said it first.
Well, no, I just dropped it in as a little subtle sort of, you know, say no more, say no more.
Number one unofficial podcast. Anyway.
Can I, since I was asked the question about Plough Lane, there's one thing that really got my goat about Plough Lane on Tuesday night.
Well, why'd you bring your goat with you? Should have left it home.
And that is our stewarding or safety or security or turnstile system has got to ban drums.
Yes.
We are an anti-drum club and we should not be allowing drums into the away end. It's sad and pathetic of the away fans. These drums, if it wasn't for the drums, they'd make no noise at all. It's just annoying, irritating, and you know.
What else should we ban from football grounds? Come on,
drums. Mr. Portsmouth brings that annoying bell with him.
What about, you don't like the guy who says, please give me your shirt?
I don't like the cardboard. No, it's not WWE.
What else do we want to ban from football grounds?
Half and half scarves.
Pathetic. Get rid of them. Absolute disgrace.
Not acceptable.
Half Celtic, half Liverpool. Get over it. Get out of it. Don't want to know.
Yep. I'll move you on that one. Exactly. Anything else that we could ban?
No. I think apart from that, football's great.
That'll do.
It's all right.
What about away versions of home matches programmes? So you go away to Portsmouth and you're not bothered about reading about Portsmouth in 1973. You just want to read about the Dons. But you buy a programme, it costs you £1 million, and you get half a page. Where actually, having a cheeky fanzine-type size at an away game, I don't know.
I think it's all about podcasts now. Listen to the best unofficial podcast.
It is, yeah.
But the problem, Dan, it's all about cost as well. You've got to do two programmes then. One for the home, one for the away. And then you've got Accrington away and they're bringing out 20 fans and then you've got to do 20.
Take Wimbledon do the pod. Wimbledon do the programme and set it at away grounds.
Yeah, but that means we've got to do two lots.
More money.
We've got to do two lots. Yeah, but it costs more money. But anyway, let's move on.
Tell me, do you two still go, do you still get programmes?
No.
Dad does sometimes. But he's the only reason my dad gets a programme is that he always goes on about it every single time we see any programme seller that once he bought a programme of Paul Cannon by, and it goes on every single time. So Dad always goes, oh, I bought one off the Paul Cullen buy you once, and he gives him his £3 every single time we go to it. It could be an old lady, it could be a young player. He always, just the same story, really. Started to trigger with his brooms, just change it around a little bit. It's just ridiculous.
I don't want to say too much because I don't want to offend.
No, stop there. We'll hear Rob carry on.
I don't want to offend Chris Ford, who's a big friend of ours, big friend of the podcast.
I like Chris. You be very careful.
He's the programmer, does a great job, but I just find programs so boring nowadays.
Well, how are you going to make it more exciting? Flashing lights, easier words.
Full of adverts.
Mispronounced people in there. What's going
on? Full of adverts. There's interviews with players who just bore me. Who cares about the junior dons?
What would make you buy a programme, Lee? What's going to make you buy a programme? What do you need to see?
I'm only joking about the junior dons bit because I get some stick for that. My boy's in that. So.
Well, give Chris some ideas then when you next see him.
The one big one is, I know he's been getting a bit of stick with, his stats. There's no stats in the programme. Okay. All the stats out there. Get some stats in there, Chris.
I don't mind the content, but I got out of the habit, I don't know, in the 90s at some point when they hit £2.50 or something like that. And so I stopped buying them. So now I get a programme at the beginning of the season and a programme at the end. And that's about it.
I bought the first programme at Plough Lane thing. But yeah, I like to bring back the posters of the players and stuff. And then you can get your kids can get it signed and then they can have it on their wall. I used to have all the players' posters on my wall. And that was till about last year, really. Do you know what I mean? But also, another thing that needs to be banned is calling Plough Lane New Plough Lane.
Ooh.
It's Plough Lane.
Plough Lane.
Thank you.
Well, technically, it's Cherry Red Records.
Yeah, it's very true. Right, let's move on. And then when we come back, we'll talk to Rob about the 92 grounds and how he's been to them all. 91.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Right, welcome back. And we're going to be discussing the 91 clubs, the going round the grounds. I don't like the rules to this, but Rob will go through them in a minute because he has done. I understand you've done all 91 clubs. Danny said you've done them with Wimbledon, which I don't think that's true.
You can't have done. Well, firstly, congratulations, Rob. That's an amazing feat.
Thank you. Yeah, I haven't done them all with Wimbledon. I've got about 15 or so to do with Wimbledon. So I kind of have a two running list going. But I found my old sheet of A4 where I first wrote down the teams that I'd seen and I ticked the clubs, the grounds I've been to. So I did that by the looks of things when I was 16, 17. And so I've been collecting them since. And it's only really about 5 or 6, 7 years ago where I thought, look, I'm that close. Let's see if I can get to the 91, complete the 91. And so we've all got different rules, I think. So my rule is I can't go to another club if I can get to a Wimbledon game.
Oh, that was what he said, yeah.
So one of the
ones, international break, you must be like, yes,
exactly. But one time a few years ago, we were at Blackpool away, but I had a 50th in Barnet. There was no way I was going to Blackpool and being back in Barnet for 7:30. But I looked at the fixture list, realized I could drive to Stoke and get back to Barnet for 7:30. So, fortunately, my wife is extremely understanding. There's no way I'd have been able to do this without her at least understanding. So the two of us went up to Stoke, drove back, got changed at Torrington Services and made the party on time. Happy days.
I've got to say, football fans' partners are worth their salt in gold because, is that the saying?
No, worth their weight in gold.
Weight in gold, that's the
unbelievable.
Worth their weight in gold because
don't go and catchphrase, you'd be rubbish.
Literally, some of the like away games have been Barrow, Carlisle, and you tell them why you're going and stuff, and they just the partners are amazing. I've got to say that straight off the bat. She is listening.
I need to say something a bit more. I mean, my wife is really helpful, really understanding. She likes going to games from time to time. But she can't say that she didn't know what was coming because our first date included a Wimbledon game. It was 96, February the 24th, 1996, last minute equaliser against Villa. Absolutely going crazy. And so she knew what she was getting into.
So, Rob, the question I've got for you is, how many of the 91 have you done with Wimbledon?
I think it's about 77. I've got my little spreadsheet up here now.
That's a good effort. Because I've done a quick count before we came on mine. So I don't know if this is, I think I've done more, but I've done a quick count. And mine was 63. You take off that club up there. So I've done 62.
Is that in terms of the Football League now? Or I mean, I've done 62, but I've also done Barnet in the league, Grimsby in the league. What's your take, Lee?
Once they go out of the league, they then don't count because it's not the 91, Dan. It's the 91 Football League clubs.
I get that. But Rob, right, as example, could have done 91 league clubs, but he might have done 100 because Grimsby are out. So they're not in it now. So when Rob said he's officially done it, that must be when those 91 grounds were in the Football League. Or have I missed?
Yeah, it had to be the 91 that were in that Football League at that time. Say Grimsby went out of the league, that then means you've only done 90 then, because you then have to do the one that comes up if you've not done it before.
But you have done them in the league.
This is what annoys me about, there's a rule on this as well, is that if you've been to Highbury, but you've not been to the Emirates, you've not done Arsenal. That is the rule.
Well, what you haven't done is the current 91. That's the thing. So that's why there's a number of those clubs where, you know, I've gone to, there are 22 clubs where I've been to two or more of their grounds. Wow. So, you know, you talk about the other grounds. There's a website called Doing the 92. And it ranks, it's like there's a Champions League, a Premier League and all of that sort of thing of fans. And for those who've done all the 91, obviously they call it 92, that you're next ranked by how many league grounds you've done when they were in the league. And then the third ranking, if there's any ties, are how many grounds you've done altogether. So I've done 210 grounds of 188 different clubs or countries. Because, of course, we're Wimbledon fans. So we've done loads of non-league grounds.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say about the number, but also, like, regards to, like, up at Rotherham, I've not been to the New York Stadium, but I went to Millmore. I've been to the
Don Valley,
but I can't count Rotherham because I haven't been to the freaking new one. And that's what annoys me, because that's a joke, because I've been to two of the grounds that they've played at. So I count it. I count it in my own special one.
Of course,
so
you do. Of course you do.
Well, no, because I have been there, though, Dan. Have you been to Highbury?
Me, yes.
Have you been to the Emirates?
Yes.
But if you hadn't been to the Emirates, you can't count Arsenal, even though you've been to the Highbury.
You make your own rules up, don't you? Just suit yourself, whatever you want to do.
Thank you.
I'm not losing any sleep over it. It's Christmas coming up. What's the matter
with
you?
No, but I'm...
We've just beaten Crewe. What's the matter with you?
This is the issue I have. I am a groundhopper. I have my own groundhopping chips on Instagram. I also run a German football stadium on Twitter and on... This is how sad I am. On Twitter, German stadiums. And I love German football stadiums. I think they're amazing.
Are you winding me up? You actually run a Twitter site about German football stadiums? You must be. This is an absolute...
It's got 681 followers. German stadiums. Go and follow it. I post all...
Got a big family.
From non-league all the way up to the Bundesliga. I love German football stadiums, right? This makes me sound really sad. I love football stadiums. So I'm going on Saturday, I'm going to go to Great Wakering to watch Great Wakering versus Hashtag, because I've not been to Burroughs Park yet. I can tick it off a list of non-league. I've been to Batlight. I love football stadiums. I think they're amazing. And it annoys me that some of the stadiums I've been to don't count in the fact that I've been there.
So I think there's two things. So there's two 92s. You can measure it however you like. So you've been to the 92 clubs and you've been to the current 92 or 91 grounds. You can have it. I don't think the 92 club aren't actually quite as fussed as they might have been back in the day. The fellow who runs it lives not far from where I live. I think he's a Palace fan. And there isn't really a snobbery about it, I think, because actually a lot of the groundhoppers have done hundreds of grounds, because actually that's what they do. I think there's far fewer people who've done the 92 who are like us, who will go to Wimbledon games whenever we can get to a Wimbledon game and only go to other grounds when Wimbledon aren't playing or they can't get there.
Yeah.
I've got some quick fire questions, Rob. about your 92 experience, if I may, Lee.
Okay. The
92 that you've been to, favourite ground.
Okay. Favourite ground of all time, away grounds, probably Highbury.
Okay.
But
Fleetwood's Highbury, obviously, or
Highbury?
I mean, happy memories at Fleetwood, but the old Arsenal Highbury. I like old compact grounds. I like grounds like Villa Park, Goodison Park back in the day.
Luton.
Even grounds where you're close to the pitch, Upton Park, Loftus Road.
I love Luton because that away end, going up to the away end.
They're moving, aren't they, Luton?
Going through people's gardens to get to your away end. I love it.
Rob, worst ground.
Worst ground, Gillingham.
Yeah.
I have, on two or three occasions, I have ranted. I've got the stewards. I've asked the stewards to get the chief stewards. Because the last two times we've been there, it's been a liability.
It's rubbish, isn't it, Gillingham?
I got so angry. They treat fans so badly there. You're on scaffolding. It's like, all right, you've had scaffolding for how many years? All right, get at least a semi-permanent stand. I hate Gillingham. I hate Oxford, the new ground.
Favourite match of your 92, Rob?
Favourite match?
Yeah, it could be any of those 92 grounds. With one that sticks in your head and you're like, yes. Or funny. I remember you telling me, Rob, the story about you going up to Walsall, I think it was, or something. You went up on the train, the Wimbledon game got called off, and you got on a train quite recently. That was a good story.
I think we had a game up in Rochdale called off because of snow three seasons ago. So I had a look. I was at Manchester Piccadilly. I had only found out from a Wimbledon fan at the station once we arrived. Had a look, Oldham were playing at home, changed plans, got on the tram, and some Oldham fan saw me and figured out what I must be doing, took me under his wing. He was meeting his parents at the car park in a nice Range Rover, got in the car, met his parents, got right into the car park. They were clearly big wigs at the club, got invited in, didn't have to buy a ticket, went in, had the hospitality. Oldham beat, was it something like Northampton or something like that, 5-1. So they thought I was their lucky mascot. I had a great day. They were really lovely people. So chalked Oldham off. I know we've played there. I never got to Oldham when we were playing there. It's those sorts of things. I mean, the one of the great moments, although it was a non-league ground at the time, was Grimsby. Because my brother and I were on the train to Grimsby, it must have been 2000, when that game was called off. We got as far as Donny, I think it was, or somewhere like that.
Donny was comfortable, I think.
And had to turn back. And Grimsby, it's like, Grimsby, you've got to go to Grimsby Town. What a great sounding football club. You've got to go there. It's by the sea. It's all, you know, Harry the Haddock. So it was about, I don't know, 10, 11 years later when this time with my son Isaac and we went up. And that was... It was such a moment standing by the ground. You know, I got one of those sort of, had one of those.
It's exciting. It's all about Grimsby. It's brilliant.
Mate, I love Grimsby. I've been Grimsby twice. I went up on a Tuesday night, stayed in the B&B and we lost 2-0 and got fish thrown at us. And then the other time I went, we lost 6-2 up there. And it was...
Shane Gore, wasn't it? The goalie.
He came on, absolutely battered. And it's such a heavy drinking session as well, Grimsby, because it's in the middle of nowhere.
So Rob, what ground completed it? What ground was it when you were like completed it? What happens next? What happens when you complete it?
Yeah, so basically I completed it. In fact, let me just remind myself.
You have to prove it, I presume.
You have to send in a spreadsheet with the games you've been to at the ground.
You buggered, Lee. Spreadsheets, you're finished.
Oh, you're right on one tonight.
I finished it on the 2nd of April 2019, watching Swansea versus Brentford. Now, the only trouble about that is I'd done the 91. The next day, the very next day, was Tottenham's first game in a Tottenham stadium.
Oh.
And they were playing Palace. So I live in Palace territory here. So I asked everyone I knew, anyone could get me a Palace ticket, even though I knew Palace fans would really want them. Fortunately, one of my colleagues, Penny, absolutely brilliant, top Palace fan, She and her family are kind of connected in our, you know, and the key person who's she's connected to was sympathetic to the story, got me in. So we met at the pub outside the ground beforehand. So the very next day, I topped it up again. And then about 6 months later, I really know how to show my wife a good time. I took her up to Salford.
Wow.
You're lucky. So I've got Brentford on Sunday, and then I've just got to find time to get to Harrogate, and I'll be back.
You might need a while for that.
I was going to say Tottenham is the best stadium in the world currently. I hate to say it because I hate Spurs.
Have you been, Lee?
Yeah, I went against Norwich in the cup. One of my mates is a season ticket holder, and he had a spare seat, and it's the best stadium in the world.
Of all the new grounds, so I still like older grounds, but of all the new grounds, it is the best. It's close. You're close to the pitch. So the away fans, it's not like, you know, Old Trafford or St. James's Park, the Newcastle one. They put you miles away. And in Old Trafford, they stick you in top tier in the corner. Last time I went to St. James's Park, you were in tier 8 in the skies. Not like when I first went there and you stood on the Gallagher end, in the pouring rain. But anyway, so you're right by the pitch, and it's not got acres. It's so different to somewhere like the London Stadium, where I was sat near the back. I was actually making more noise than most of the West Ham fans, my son and I. But I reckon we were the full width of a pitch away from the touchline. And that's terrible. But to be fair to the Tottenham Stadium, the sound was great. It's quite close to the pitch.
What I also love is that it's still in the community. Still, you've got the houses around there. And it's one of the things I love about St. James's Park. The fact that St. James's Park is for the away end, it's awful. But the fact that it's right in the middle of the town, it's probably one of the only grounds in their actual town centre. It's an actual football ground in a town centre, which is just unreal. It's brilliant, mate.
So who else is getting new grounds coming up? Luton, I've read they're getting a new
Everton.
One. 20,000. Everton moving to the park, aren't they?
They're moving close to the river.
Yeah. Oh, of course they are. Yes, they are. Yeah.
To the riverside.
I don't know anyone else who's moving.
No, I don't. There's a couple of non-league teams have got new grounds now, like York City, Boston. Boston United have got a really nice ground. They've got brilliant floodlights. This is our sad. I love stadiums, man. I love them. I think they're amazing. German_stadiums, if anyone's interested, follow it on Twitter. New stadium every day from non-league to the Bundesliga.
And which ground or which club has had the worst upgrade? Like Northampton's ground at the moment is.
Oh, I hate Northampton.
But I don't know whether the old ground was any good.
I don't know about upgrade. I loved Shrewsbury's old ground.
I was just about to say that.
Of all the new grounds, it's one of the most. I know a lot of new grounds are soulless, and having not had our proper own ground in Wimbledon, I'd have taken a soulless. I don't think our ground is soulless, but I'd have taken one just to be back there. But I think Shrewsbury, partly because when I started going to football, I went with family friends. Chap called David Lewis and his son Ollie, who's still a regular, and one of my first away games outside of London was Shrewsbury away. We were trying to get promoted from the old third division, and or was it from the old second? Well, from the old second division, and we drew 1-1, but it was great. Anne made all the packed lunch; it was fantastic, and we went up, and it was a big day out. So I got golden. Rose-tinted memories of going to Shrewsbury, and the new never win there. One of the best times we had was a terrible 0-0 draw because it was the first point we had in ages. But and the ground is soulless.
Rob, do you mean Shrewsbury? Because I was getting really confused there.
There's the question. Sometimes Shrewsbury. Apparently, there are the locals call it both. That's what I've been told.
But yeah,
I've been calling it Shrewsbury for years.
Oh, Lee, don't flog this dead horse, will you, for God's sake.
But no, I was going to say, to be fair, even if you speak to Shrewsbury fans, they say they prefer their old ground to the new ground because the new ground's in the pretty much middle of nowhere now. It's not really, I agree with that. But yeah, I love football stadium. As I said, I've been to the Czech Republic to go to 3 or 4, going to Germany in April, and you can get 3 or 4 matches in Germany in a weekend. So
you're just going to keep topping them up, Rob, whenever they come up, just tick them and see you later. Have you got to go see Sutton at a league game now?
No, I don't think I do. And actually, the
get the rule book, Rob.
The 92 club. The 92 club. Where's my?
Do you get like a badge? Is it like an annual curry night or something?
You can't see this on the podcast, but I'm holding my certificate. And there is a pin badge and there's a tie.
You do get a badge. Yeah, you get a pin badge.
No, I will keep topping them up, and I might just. Once I'm topped up, I'll probably try and just. I've got about four more to go in the National League. I might just do that.
Is there a community? Do you like catch up? Does someone from the 92 come to Plough Lane and you go, look, let's have a coffee, or I'll take you along, or whatever?
I would do if it was maybe more active on social media. I think there are people. You know, you can wear your badge and people will know. Yeah. But there are quite a few people who do it.
How many have done it, Rob? How many have done it, do you reckon? Formally or through your whatever it is you've done?
I am member 1,274. I think it was started in the 70s or something like that. That doesn't mean that's not that number haven't done the current 92. But as you say, it changes all the time. And because last season, quite a few fans will be catching up from last because. Harrogate and Barrow, for example.
I was going to say, Harrogate coming up is one that most people wouldn't have gone to for, like Salford as well now as well. They've only just come through the leagues. And yeah, you think Southend have dropped out, which were in the league for years and now they're not in it. And Dagenham and Redbridge drop in and out all the time, don't they? And things like that. So it is fascinating. I love football stadiums. But will anyone want to say one more thing before we move on?
Well, thank you for sharing.
Worst away experience. Bristol Rovers in the rain. Did either of you go to that game? I have a decent coat. I was wet to the skin. It was the people were staying in the disgusting porter cabin toilets just to get a bit of a dryness for a few minutes.
Porter cabin toilets. I think you sold me on that. That's wicked. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing. I love the stories, and I won't lie. I've done 62. Lee's done one more apparently, but. You might have inspired me to try and chalk a couple off. If Mrs. Baker and Bubby let me, I'm absolutely gonna chalk them off. I think I've got to try and dent it.
I'd love to know how many grounds someone like Mikey T's done. Especially like Wimbledon fans, as I said before, we're the only team to watch our league go from the step nine of the Football League to the Premiership. And you think how many non-league teams that we've done, Ash, Cobhams, Rains Parks, Westfields, Debenhams, LC and stuff like that. And just going through the non-league days, I've been to hundreds of football stadiums. It's unbelievable. So
Felton was a favourite. I had, it was
with the roof.
It was August. I had a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And it was great because we were sat on a grass bank. They could run around, watch the planes as they came in.
Well, the roof was missed. Someone's stolen a roof before, I think. Someone had stolen the roof, so there was no roof on the stand. And the other one was with the Heathrow,
Bedfont.
Right at the end of the runway. So as the big planes take off, you're watching a game of football. But yeah, right, we'll move on. And then when we come back, we'll have a brief chat regarding Fleetwood on Saturday.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Well, we're back, and last part of the episode, we're going to be discussing the game against Fleetwood on Saturday. Massive game. Fleetwood are in no form and they've just sacked their manager. So, what are we expecting? Are we expecting a new manager bounce from them, or are we expecting what we did against Crewe? And how would we line up?
Has someone taken over yet, Fleetwood? Or is it just caretaker?
They've got their caretaker. I can't remember his name, but he's like, I think they were, was he the former assistant?
Stephen Craney, former player and current under-23s coach.
Yeah, I was just about to say under-23, man.
Has the money run out of Fleetwood then? Because they kind of run out now. They've completely...
I don't think the money's run out. I just don't think he was as rich as, say, you need to be. I think he was rich enough to get him through non-league and stuff like that. And he
wide a stadium, build it up, etc.
He's got a fair few quid on him, but I think he's probably just reached the limit of where he's going to put enough in now, and that's it.
Grayson's as big a name as would come to a low-level League One ground. Yeah. That suggests that they've still got some money to splash.
So I disagree with that because Grayson, I think he's struggling. He struggled in his last job. Where was he? He was at Blackpool. Was he at Blackpool? Where was he?
Everywhere.
I think he's kind of finding his level now. And I think he's having to drop down. And I think you'll probably end up seeing him at Salford or something soon because they're struggling. But how do we expect to line up against Fleetwood? Are we going with the same team started the last two games?
No change for me. No change. When I mean no change, I'd still keep Osu in. Or I'd put Osu left back and put Lawrence right back. But I can't see us changing too much.
Only change I would say is I agree with what you boys said earlier. I'd maybe take Asel out and put Osu on the wing and Lawrence at right back. But at the moment, yeah, I can't see why you would change it when we've done all right against Portsmouth, even though we lost. But yeah, Crew, we should have smashed them. So yeah, confidence has got to be going through the boys. Rob?
Agreed. Keep the team the same. I think what's going to be really important in terms of is Fleetwood's mentality. Yeah. So I think if we go a goal down like we did against Crew, even if we then get straight back into it, I think the Fleetwood players will have an element of the sense of belief because they know that lots of clubs, when they lose their manager, have a new manager or interim manager bounce and they'll think this is going to be us. So actually what I think we need to do is really go for it from the whistle, that as high intensity as we can, and let them know that we're going to boss this game.
Yeah, I agree with that because you look at new managers coming in, they make teams hard to beat. So they're going to be hard to beat on Saturday against us. I don't think it's going to be a walkover like they've been playing recently. The new coach is going to come in and just try and get a clean sheet, try and keep it tight and really make them hard to beat, which I think is going to be a tougher game than it is on paper. I think we need 3 points. I don't know what you boys think with regards to predictions. Let's have some predictions out there.
I think we'll win. I think we're going to win. And I think that we've had that slump. And I said before, as long as you don't have another one of them slumps, I still have no doubt that we're good enough to stay up. And I think we can stay up a bit more comfortable than we have done. So I'm going to say we're going to keep a clean sheet and we're going to win 2-0. Might be a cagey first half. We'll nick a goal. It'll get stretched and we'll get one more. So I'm going to go 2-0. Ollie Palmer not to score. Presley to score a header, because I say it every week. So Presley to score a header. You heard it here first. 2-0 Wimbledon.
Loving the optimism, Danny. I'm a bit nervous because for the first time in a long time, I called it on Tuesday. Someone said, but where's the goals going to come from? And I said, don't you worry. Ollie Palmer's going to score 2 and we're going to win. I do think we are going to win on Saturday, but I don't think we're going to get a clean sheet because I think Lincoln might be a one-off for this season. So I'll take a 2-1.
Yeah, I think the next two games are crucial for us, Fleetwood and then the FA Cup, because after that, we then start playing some really tough games, Wickham, Portsmouth,
Accrington
Charlton. Accrington on a Tuesday. And they're even though Accrington are struggling, that's going to be a tough game on Tuesday night in the Christmas build-up. But I'm going to say, I think 2-1 as well against Fleetwood. And I think Ollie Palmer and Aya Bissell.
I agree with that. But of course, if we beat Fleetwood, does that make Wickham a free hit?
There's no such thing as a free hit. Don't start
away from home. Well, like I said, we're going to beat Fleetwood. We're going to beat Cheltenham. And then we're going to play Accrington. Is it Accrington or is it Cheltenham? Oh, lastly, actually, on Fleetwood. Here we go. This whole sleepover thing's great, right? And I think it's a fantastic thing from the clubs. Not overly happy our main striker, considering we've got one striker technically, who's injury prone over the last year and a half, is going to be sleeping in a freezing cold stadium directly after a game. Are we, it's a great charitable gesture, love it. Is it completely wise?
For it, I say. Yeah, it's not wise, but it's probably the right thing to do. And we could get into a big old conversation about the club and doing what's right as to doing what's wise, because they're not necessarily the same thing.
We are the Wombles. We're mad.
I know. I agree with you, Dan. I don't think it's wise that our main striker, who has been out for injuries, is going to be sitting in a sleeping bag in a freezing cold ground when we'd rather wrap him up in cotton wool at home. But it's a great cause. It's raising awareness for the homeless. And yeah, I think, we're doing what's right. And the club always seems to do that. So, yeah. Right, let's wrap it up, boys. Thanks very much for joining us tonight, Rob. Very interesting regarding the 91 clubs.
Thanks for having me.
And Danny, have a Snickers.
I will have a Snickers. Can I just say one thing before I go? Big shout out to my mate Kev on the welcoming of little Jackson to the world. Congratulations, my mate Kev at work.
Well done, Kev.
Obviously does the women's team as well. So big shout out to Kev.
Oh, congratulations. Does he listen to the pod? Because otherwise it's wasted.
Every week we have a conversation in our office about the pod and he keeps regularly saying, are you going to mention me? I said, no, but you can come on. So he's very keen to come on at some point. But right now he's probably very busy, but big, lots of love for that man, and I wanted just to chuck it out. He's an amazing servant to our football club and an amazing bloke to work with. So, Kev, congratulations to him and Kels.
Congratulations. And, boys, thanks very much. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.